We're continuing a series called Understanding the Anointed. Look at your neighbor and say, I am anointed. Find somebody else to talk to and say, you are anointed. If you have given your life to Jesus, there is an anointing that's just smeared right on you. Now, Philippians 4:13, have you found it? It says, very familiar scripture. We quote this all the time. You probably knew immediately when you heard it what the scripture said. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things. Now get this. I remember reading this and it's like, if I need to walk on water, I believe God will find a way. You know, if an enemy chains me up, throws, cinder blocks on the bottom of my feet, throw me overboard, I don't think I'm going to go under. I believe I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If God's promises are in him, yes, and in him, amen. And so the earth quit turning one time for the children of Israel's covenant to come to pass. My covenant will come to pass. If God has to bend natural laws, he created the laws. If there are diseases and viruses that are in this earth that have a certain way of operating, but when they touch my skin, when they touch my house, when they come in my presence, all of a sudden natural law has to bend. It has to bend its knee to the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I feel like I could preach this morning. And I feel like some people are with me, so I like that. Y'all are helping me here. We're all pushing this up the same mountain together. Now, Christ, first of all, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If I need natural law to bend, I believe it will bend. If I need natural law to stop, I believe it will stop. Amen. Now, I can do all things through Christ. I'm not going to step in front of a train and try to stop it, or leap over a tall building, or jump off the Empire Building to prove anybody that I could do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I believe the scripture says everything I do. See, we try to apply it to the impossible, not that it doesn't. But what we need to apply it to is all things. Everything I do, from going to the bank to going to Target or Walmart, and you better, when you go to Target and Walmart, you better take God with you. Yeah. No matter, kids going to school, they need to take God with them. So everything they do, they can do in Christ Jesus. I believe, I'm probably going to say their own person, but I believe it was Moody. Someone was busting him on a habit that he had. We won't talk about it. We are not going to discuss it right now at this time. Not a place to do this. But he looked at him and said, I do this for the glory of God. And if God ever convicts me that I can't do this to his glory, that is the day I will quit. And so what I liked about him is he said, everything I do for the glory of God. If you brush your teeth, you can do it in Christ Jesus. If you exercise, you can do it in Christ Jesus. When you eat, you can do it in Christ Jesus. When you breathe in air, you can do it in Christ. You can do all things in Christ, which strengthens you. Does it apply to the natural? Yes, absolutely. Does it apply to every day? Yes. It applies to all of it. So let's make sure that everything we're doing, we do in Christ Jesus. All right, I'm just going to let that sink in a minute. But now, the word Christ here, what does the Christ mean? Anybody? Come on, my little Bible students. The anointing. Very good. The anointing. So, read for yourself. Study for yourself. It shouldn't just all come here. But we know this. It means the anointing. Christ was not Jesus' last name. It wasn't Mary Christ and Joseph Christ, Mr. and Mrs. Christ. It was Jesus Christ was the Christ, the anointed. Now, we've said the word anointed means to be smeared on. By definition, in Isaiah, it says it removes anxiety, grief, burdens, and destroys bondages and oppression and yokes. That is what the anointing is for. It does these things. We need the anointing on our life. Can I tell you something? If you've ever got grease or something on you, worked on an automobile, and you got that axle grease on you, it's hard to get off. Now, don't get me wrong. It comes off on everything you touch, but it's also on you. And, you go out in the world, and you touch everything. Ooh, it's on it. I made a mistake one time. When I was a kid, I was working on the car with my dad, learning how to change the oil. I got a lot of dirt and grease and oil on me, and then I went and sat on the couch. I thought I was good. I changed clothes because I got some on me. And I even remember I asked my daddy, I said, Daddy, can I put my fingers in the oil and just like put it on my face? And he goes, why would you want to do that? I want to look dirty like you. Because he was, you know, I always loved when he would work on the car. He would get out and he'd just be all these marks all over him and on his arm. I'm like, Dad, I just want to get dirty under here like you do. And he just laughed and said, all right, go ahead. But then I get blamed for getting it on the couch. He should have known better to let a child put grease on him and oil on him. Now, so we know that the anointing is smeared on, but when we go into the world needs the anointing of God. They got yokes. Can I tell you something? When people come into your house, they should experience the presence of God. They should experience the very peace of God. Why? Because your house is covered by God. The blood of Jesus covers your property line, covers your house, covers you, covers your children.
Amen.
And people should be able to experience when they come in. I remember as a kid, whenever we had company come in, I got kicked out of my room and they got my room. Now, before I dealt with some bad dreams as a child. And so I just thought, well, God can take care of this. And, you know, I didn't know much about the word, didn't know much about anything. But I just knew we had holy oil at the front of the church. We used to keep it. You know, there was an altar, there was a pulpit, and there was this little thing, the remembrance table where we kept the communion. And the oil was right there. And so I asked if I could get some. And so I got a little bitty bottle and put some in it. And then I went to my house and I laid it on my hands and I laid it on the bed. And I said, I will have no more bad dreams. And I prayed over my bed. Now, the crazy thing is my bed was a piece of junk. It was a horrible bed. Why? Because I was a child and my parents didn't care if I slept well. They cared if they slept well. They had a nice bed. I did not have a nice bed. Some of you, your kids resemble that remark. And so in this, I remember people would sleep in my bed and people would say, oh, that was the best night's sleep I've ever had. That bed, they're like, I want to know what mattress that is. And my daddy knew. He would say, it has nothing to do with the mattress. Trust me. He's like, trust me, it has nothing to do with the mattress. Like, well, what is it? What is it? He said, my son prays over his bed before he goes to sleep. He covers it with the anointing. He tells God that the Holy Spirit will reside here, that he'll have no bad dreams and he'll sleep in peace. And he said, so what your experience is the leftover. And my daddy would call it the leftover. You're experiencing the leftover prayer because he did it the night before you slept there. And so that anointing is still on there. Something that Paul got a hold of is that the anointing, you know, when you go into like Bible teachings and experiences, that the anointing is a lot like water. It can absorb into materials. That's where we got prayer cloths from. That's where, you know, Paul couldn't even take off his suit jacket. The moment he did, people stole it, cut it up into little pieces, and took it, placed it, and laid it on the sick, and they recovered. Why? Because it was the leftover. What he had on him oozed into his clothes. And we need to get to the point where we understand that the anointing is not about us. It's not about how good we are, about how much we operate in the power of God, which I think you need to be good. I think you need to operate in the power of God. But it is the power of God, not the power of Tim, not the power of Jesse, not the power of anybody else. Not my ability to do everything right, but his ability to always be the right.
Amen.
So my trust is in his anointing, not mine. Which we could go back to the scripture that says, my righteousness is as filthy rags in the nostrils of God. It's a good thing I don't go to God in my own righteousness. Because it would always stink. Oh my goodness. Now I know most of you think I'm perfect. And you're not far off. Just ask my wife. She'll back that up. Yeah, she said the Holy Spirit just gave her another scripture. Y'all turn to 1 John chapter 3. I hope this was a scripture? I'll see if you had it right. 1 John chapter 3, if you're led by the Spirit of God. But I do want to say this. I'm anointed. You're anointed. I am anointed to preach the gospel. You're anointed to preach the gospel. You are anointed to preach the gospel. The Bible says, do the work of an evangelist. Every one of you are anointed to do that work. Now, I'm anointed to stand in this place of pastor. That's where I feel God has called me to be. I'm anointed. Not everybody is anointed to be a pastor. Not everybody's anointed to be a full-time evangelist. Not everybody can say, a lot of times when we say anointing, they automatically go to the fivefold ministry. Can I tell you something? You're called to the ministry. You are called to the ministry. It might not be full-time, like that's your paycheck comes from being a full-time ministry, but you are in full-time ministry. Every day of your life, you are in ministry. Every time you get up, you're in ministry. Every time you speak to the cashier, it is ministry. Do you know, people will notice something's different about you. They'll notice that you're kind. They'll notice that you have love. They shall know that you are my disciples because of your love one for another. When somebody gets chewed out because they're a new cashier and they're not going fast enough and so-and-so has meetings to make and they don't have time to deal with your bull. You're in line. You can tell them, hey, you know, just, it's okay. Everything's good. There's nothing that's, you know, you're doing great. Keep it up. I'm praying for you. And then all of a sudden, they'll know something's different about you. Even recently, we went to a store and they were having problems finding, where it was in the cash register to punch up what they needed to do. And they kept apologizing to me. I'm like, you're okay. We're in no big hurry. We had a meeting to get to, but it was like, we're not in a hurry. Take your time. We're good. And I didn't want to put any extra pressure on her. But let me tell you something. It's that kind of small things that you're ministering every day of your life. Your life should be a ministry unto God. Now look, don't condemn yourself. I just felt that somebody is condemning themselves because maybe they blew up or maybe they yelled at their kids. I yelled at mine. I know, but and this is what I hate. I've told Jesse this time and time again. I hate yelling at my kids, but it works. Why? Why? Why does it work? I don't want it to work, but it does. I'll be like, hey, could y'all please put the dishes out of the dishwasher? Okay, Daddy. And they go on playing. Hey, I told you 5 minutes ago, could you take the stuff out of the dishwasher? Okay, Daddy. And then they go on their way, tags, throwing things, hitting things, breaking things. And then you go, I won't yell because I'm on the mic, but stop it. Get in there, take the dishes out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm like, why did that work? And then you can get in the mentality. You made me yell at you. Why do you make me yell at you? I love you. I don't want to yell at you. But look, there's no condemnation in Christ. We have to get better ways. We need, there's better ways of doing things. And I'm not going to tell you that I've made it, that I'm perfect. I'm the parent of the year. Every once in a while I do something. I look at Jesse and say, well, there goes Father of the Year award. I won't win it this year. We'll try again next year. And so I used to have this joke, too, that I really love. When we had an office that was not at my house and we had employees, I announced that in December we were going to hang a picture up on the wall of Employee of the Year. And I said, and then people are like, are you going to put your own photo up there? I'm like, I don't know. You have to wait. We will reveal it at our church Christmas party for the staff. And they're like, okay, Pastor. And they're thinking several times people would ask me, are you just going to put your face up there? Are you just going to take, which it did cross my mind. Because I don't know anyone who works harder for the church than I do. No, I'm just kidding. Now, in this, so at the end of it, I had a picture frame hanging and I wrapped it up in Christmas wrapping. And I actually let Dina Acheson unwrap it. I said, go ahead and unwrap it. And then it was a picture of Jesus. And I just told him, I said, look, I just want y'all to know, I don't believe any of us is going to beat Jesus' Employee of the Year. And so, we can do and follow the word of God and become greater disciples of Jesus Christ than we've ever become. But one of the keys is to look at your own self as Christ looks at you. Not at the mistake you made 5 minutes ago, not at the mistake you made a year ago, not at the mistake you made 10 years ago. That, yes, I understand it affected your life. I understand that there are things that have hurt your heart. I understand that there are things that if you meditated on would still cause you to cry of the things that happened. And some of you have blamed yourself for things that you never even did. It was not your fault. And some of you blamed yourself for stuff that was absolutely your fault. You knew what you were doing when you did it. But the key and the good thing is that God is a forgiver. And he says, I throw it as far as the east is from the west. Your heart is repentant. We turn from our ways and we don't hold that against ourselves. We see ourselves covered by the blood, able to pick up and move forward. Ah, God is good, and his mercy will always endure forever. 1 John 3:8. But I believe there's people in this place that are anointed, to start businesses, that are anointed to have jobs, that are anointed to go into politics, that are anointed to change our schools, our cities, our counties, our state, our nation, and nations across the world. All because you are marked by God to do what you're doing. God gives you favor. Favor's not fair. Favor's not fair. And people are going to look at you when you rise up the ranks and say it's not fair that they're in that position. And you can know that they are absolutely right. It is not fair that you are in the position you're in, but you are anointed. You are smeared with the presence of God. The favor of the Lord. Now, because you have this favor, there may be some that set themselves up against you. So what do we do? We have not started the church mafia where we'll break your legs and pray for you later. I thought it was a good idea. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I think it's a great idea, but I haven't had release from the Lord to start it yet. And if I did, I could not be the godfather. I'd have to find someone else to work for. I couldn't run that organization. I'm like, just give me the state of Wisconsin. Somebody else can be godfather over the whole United States. I got some ideas of who it should be, but you know, let the Lord speak to them first. All right. So in all of this, we're not there to cut their brake lines. But if you heard of people praying for those who set themselves up against them, you would almost think that that's what we're praying for. A God that will get involved and, you know, Lord, if they keep setting themselves up against me, lying about me, Lord, show them for the dog that they truly are. Lord, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. God, get them good, Lord. I know none of you prayed prayers like that. But I was raised in a church that would pray. That's a little, you know, eccentric. But some of the prayers that they would pray, Lord, if my child ever puts alcohol to their lips, make them sick, God. Because, you know, God is a God of sickness. God, make them throw up, Lord. Make them puke their guts out, Jesus. Shake them. Scare them. How about, Lord, be so real to them that all they will do is come to you. They won't run to the world. Father, show up in their life. Have angels manifest in their bedroom. Let them see the blood of Jesus. Let them see the manifested glory of God. May the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. May they be rooted and grounded in love. May they comprehend with every saint at a very young age. Let them have wisdom that is not found in this world. Oh my God. That's what we should be praying over our children. Not Lord slap them down. Lord lift them up. Oh. Not Lord put them in the belly of hell. But Lord let them see heaven. Lord let them go to school and pray for the sick and them recover. Let everybody know that if they need an answer from God, they are the contact. They are the jumper cables to the battery of God. That's what we should be praying over our children. 1 John 3:8. It says, but the one who indulges in a sinful life is the devil. The devil. The defeated one. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. I realized all of a sudden that I forgot to tell you that. That the Son of God who was revealed unto the destroyer, the works of the devil. Basically, that Jesus was manifested, brought into this world so he can destroy the works of the devil. Let me read it to you. Yeah, the Amplified, that part. The reason the Son of God was made manifest, visible, was to undo, to destroy, to loosen, to dissolve the works of the devil and all that he has done. I believe the reason why we're seeing some of the things in the news that we're seeing from billionaires and people getting busted for crimes against children, for sex trafficking and all this, the reason why this is crumbling, and let them try to hide it. Because what's done in darkness will be revealed in the light. And they've been able to get away with it for so long, but there is a new movement in the church that is rising up that wants a relationship with God, not a religion with God, not just walls with gold and statues in the way, but somebody who wants to hear the voice of God, who wants to pray the direction of God, who wants to see the kingdom of God established on the earth today, not when they die and get to heaven, but they want to see the kingdom expanding now. They won't put up with religion. They won't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but they say, here am I, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, speak through me. Here am I, Lord, when I pray for the sick, heal them. When I go out, lead me to the lost. Let my light shine to the world. And the world is responding. Now, this is a problem. A lot of times when the church gets in its place, all of a sudden we see a whole lot of leprosy in the world. Yeah. Can I tell you something? That leprosy was there before we took our place. And we're all like, oh, the whole world is going to hell. Oh, I don't know why when I say stuff like that, I get a real Southern accent. Maybe it's because the church I grew up in. And just the whole world. Let me see if I can say it like a Northerner. Oh, don't you know, Derek, the whole world's going to hell. Oh, it's just so bad. I went down to Madison and I saw these people on State Street. Nah, they were just high as a kite. Yes, they were there, Joe. One. They were. They're going straight to hell, the whole world. And so, thank you. Yeah, I've been to the UP. I can do it. Not as good as they can, but I'm close. Now, see, in this, you can think that the whole world is going to hell. But the thing is the light is just shining in darkness that the church is allowed to stay dark forever. We didn't see it because it wasn't in our neighborhood. We didn't see it because it wasn't in our schools. It was on the bad side of town. We all knew that place we couldn't go to. We all knew that place we wasn't supposed to visit, especially after dark, because that side of town is the dangerous side of town. And as a church, we ignored it because we lived on the good side of town. And our kids hang out with the good kids. And we allowed the darkness to stay in our city. But the reason why this is being exposed, the reason why this is crumbling, all of a sudden the reason why billionaires can't hide the stuff they used to hide is because the church is shining brighter than we've ever shined before. The church is not going to put up with religion and works. They're going to put up with relationship with God Almighty. And all of a sudden when our heart changes to relationship, we can't let things go to hell on the wrong side of town because it doesn't touch us. They're not stealing our cars. They're not messing with our kids. Our kids aren't doing the drugs that they're doing. We will treat their kids like they are our kids. Yes. And we'll go to prayer and battle like we've never battled before. Oh, devil, you think you've had Madison. You think you had our city, our county locked up. You thought you had this part of town. Well, I'm here to put on notice. Yes. God says wherever my feet touch, it is anointed. Wherever I go, there is God. So we will not allow the schools go to hell. We will not allow the east side, the west side, downtown to go to hell. Madison will shine with the glory of the living God. Take Madison out, put your city in there. Fitchburg, Sauk City, all of them. And we're going to have people get into leadership. We're going to have people on city council, on school board. We're going to have people running to be sheriff. We're going to have people running for office that know the Lord. And we'll turn, oh, like the disciples of old, these people have turned the world upside down. Can I tell you something? We're not turning the world upside down. All we're doing is turning the world right side up. Oh, whew, God is good and His mercy, it endures forever. Why are all these things being exposed? Why is it all falling? It's not because it hasn't been there and now all of a sudden it is. It has always been there and now the church is doing their job and the light is shining on it. So it's not getting worse. We're just cleaning it. Amen. Ever poured like peroxide or alcohol into a cut? Oh, that first reaction is, oh, I didn't even know that hurt that bad. But it's getting all the bad stuff that's been there. The bad stuff that was put there, it's getting it out. It's cleaning it. And so the church's prayer, the church's relationship with God, all of a sudden we're cleaning. and we're taking care of the leprosy. It would have just continued to spread. Sex trafficking would have continued to spread through our nation. But I believe it's coming to a halt. I believe they're not going to be able to pray on young children anymore. They're not going to be able to pray on the weak anymore. Because the light of God is going to shine from Madison to Hollywood, California to Hollywood, Florida. It's going to shine from Texas to Canada. It's going to shine all around the world. Because the church is beginning to shake itself of religion, sin that so easily besets us, and we're demanding a relationship with God and dare the enemy to try to get in our way. Oh my goodness. And so basically that scripture I just read you, it's like God said when the Son of God was manifest to dissolve the works of the devil. Reminded me of a YouTube video I seen of a raccoon with a piece of cotton candy. Raccoons, little trash pandas, if you're not familiar with raccoons, they wash their food if they're by water. And so they gave the raccoon a piece of cotton candy, oh, and he put it in the water, and then he panicked. Why? Because what he had just dissolved before his eyes. And so I see Satan like a little trash panda. That's what I see. He had all this place. He had it locked up. And he's like, look at me, little trash panda. I'm going to say it again if you keep laughing. I'm just going to keep saying that word. And he's like, look at me. Look what I got. And then all of a sudden it dissolves before him. And he's putting his hands in. Where did it go? Where did it go? And guess what? It can never come back. So when God dissolves something, it never comes back. So when God gets involved in this with what the enemy had, he's going to dissolve the power. He's going to dissolve the works of the enemy. And all the enemy's going to be able to do is look around and say, what happened to it? Yeah, come on. I believe they'll say something more like this. What in the hell happened to it? Because that's where they live anyway. That's right. I didn't mean that. Now I say that, I'm here like, don't think I was trying cursing at you. I'm just saying that's where they live. Right. Their life is hell. Everything they do is in the line with the kingdom of hell. All right, so God will dissolve the works of the enemy. Romans 10, why don't y'all go to Luke 5? I'm going to read Romans 10 and 7. Who shall descend into the deep? I've read this to you before. That bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Which we preach. Now let me, for time's sake, I'm not going to read it to you out of the Amplified. If you want to see it in the Amplified, read it for yourself. But basically what the scripture is saying is you don't need Jesus to show up in the flesh. You have the word. You have the word. Use the word of faith, which we preach. He says it's in your mouth. Who's going to go to heaven and bring down Jesus? Who's going to the grave and rise him up? Nobody. You already have what you need to be victorious. You already have everything you need to be victorious. Now, saying that, I'm sure some of you said, well, I sure don't feel like it. Well, thank God our feelings have nothing to do with the works of Jesus Christ. Because there are some mornings I wouldn't get out of bed. So in all of this, you know, there's just days that I'd be like, leave me alone. I'm not a parent today. I'm not a husband today. I'm not a father today. I'm not a pastor today. Leave me alone. I'm just going to stay in my little den, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to veg out on Netflix. I'm going to eat a lot of ice cream, and I don't want to see the world today. I'm done. So there's days I feel like that, but can I tell you something? My feelings do not dictate what I do. And my wife reminds me of that. Amen. As they should. But like, I don't feel like going. Well, get up. Oh, let me tell you, this is a good story. I like this one. I like this one. There was one day I woke up and I was freezing. Oh my Lord, I was freezing. I was shivering and I like my house cold. And Ellie was small and I thought that little turkey, she went in there and she turned the air way down. You know, because she's just big enough to touch that bottom button. And I'm like, she did, because I caught her doing it once. And I thought, this is what she did. So I get up and I run to the hallway to look. And I look and the temperature's perfect. And I'm like, why am I so cold? Why am I so cold? And then I realize, I don't feel good. And so then I go back to bed, and I'm cold, and I'm sweating, and then all of a sudden, I just feel like I gotta get up. I gotta go to the restroom. So I go to the restroom, and let's not go into detail of all the stuff that happened, but there was stuff happening. I got to see stuff that I saw one time again. I got to see it again, and I'm freezing. And so at that time, we lived in an apartment, and the shower was the best thing about the whole apartment. It was huge. You could stand up in the shower and do this and not touch a wall. And had two shower heads. Oh, and it was amazing. And I didn't pay for hot water, so you could just sit in it all day long. And so, I didn't have to do any of those worries. So I just turned on both heads, and I laid in the bottom. I just laid in the bottom as this scalding hot water is pouring over top of me, and I'm weak and I'm tired and I just want sleep and I'm sick, and it's a Saturday, well now it's Sunday morning, and I'm laying down there and I just feel like crap, and I take my temperature's through the roof, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. So finally, once my body temperature felt like I was warm again, I dried off, dragged myself to bed, got in bed, and apparently it wasn't long before Jesse's alarm goes off. And she wakes up and she flips the light on and says, "Baby, I don't feel good. I have thrown up. I feel sick. I'm running at temperature. And I just don't feel good." And she, with all the sympathy that woman could muster up on the inside of her, the sweet, loving wife that I have, looked at me and said, "So what are you going to do? Are you going to make Pastor Tim get up and preach a message? He may not even prepare. You're the pastor. You're full time. They all have other jobs. So you're going to lay there and be sick? Or are you going to get up and be healed?" Don't y'all egg her on. Don't y'all. I'm going to tell you what I did. I looked at her and I said, "I don't know. Leave me alone right now." And she did. She laughed and she started getting ready. And I remember, I'm thinking, maybe I should call Pastor Tim. I don't know. And I got up, and I just sucked it up. And I'm going to tell you, I felt sick all the way to church. And something else came up, between here and there. And I got to church, and during praise and worship, that's when the healing power of God hit me. Sweat was pouring. I knew immediately, my temperature's broke. I'm good. And I was able to preach that message. Sometimes, I'm not saying, wives, I am not saying, husbands, I am not saying to treat your spouse like that. But Jesse sensed the spirit, as sensitive as she is, and knew that was the route to go. All right. And so sometimes you got to do. You got to get up, put your faith into action, and it will override your emotions. And so there are times, I'm not, look. I do not, I'm not talking about chemical imbalances, but can I tell you something? God can heal chemical imbalances. There's nothing that our God can't do. And I'm not telling you that there are not real reasons why people need medication, but I can tell you that God can heal that. And that's what we want to see. Now, where are we? Luke chapter 5. Didn't that where y'all went? Yeah. All right, y'all stay in Luke chapter 5. So this is the word of God that we preach. It's in our mouth. We don't need Jesus to show up in the flesh. We have his word. Psalms 107 and verse 20 says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." John 6 and 63 says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Y'all found Luke 5. Let's start in verse 16. "And he withdrew himself in the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by." Anytime you see a bunch of Pharisees sitting anywhere in Jesus' day, you know these are the religious know-it-alls. Because what does knowledge bring without love? Pride. And these guys knew the word, and it was not filtered through love, and they were puffed up, because knowledge puffs up. And so these guys are in the presence of God, and most of the times we know that they were with Jesus to find fault. They were with Jesus to trick him. They were with Jesus to give him questions that no man could answer. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to prove Jesus as a fake and a phony. And what's sad is we still have this mentality in the body of Christ. We have new believers get saved. They're on fire for Jesus. And we're like, well, they sure enough, they were alcoholics and drug addicts and all this. And they were fornicators and all this stuff. Now, just give them time. They'll go right back to it. And they treat them like they never gave their life to Jesus. And instead, let's just say somebody, a new person does fall. Should we hang them out to dry, or should we help them get back on the path that God has called them to? We shouldn't shoot people that are wounded. We should help their wound heal. Amen. And believe that the fire of God that is on the inside of them will last forever. They won't get old and pruny like all the rest of the denominations. They'll stay on fire for Jesus, and that they will preach the gospel. They will live the life before others. They'll become greater disciples than ever before, and they'll lead people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So he withdrew himself, he prayed. There was Pharisees, Sadducees, doctors of the law sitting with him, which they came from every town, Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was what? The power of the Lord was present to heal them all. Not some of them. Not just the ones that had enough money. Not the ones that looked good enough. Not the ones that could benefit the kingdom the most. Not the old, not the young, not the middle age, not the white, not the dark skin, not any of the other colors in between. Oh, I heard something really funny this week. Let me tell you. I know. And it is about race. So it was an Asian man. I know y'all are already looking at me. We'll cut it out of the podcast, so don't worry about it. It was an Asian man. He said, you know, and he was talking about skin and how his skin, like he looked really young. And he said, you know, black doesn't crack and yellow only mellows. And I thought, that's awesome. But then I looked at Jesse and I said, Jesse, then what does white do? If black and yellow have something, what does white do? And then it hit me. Black never cracks. Yellow only mellows. And white has to pay to keep it tight. Okay. I thought it was hysterical. I thought it was funny. I just want y'all to know that y'all laughed a lot more than Jesse did. Jesse tells me, you know, with an accent like that, you can't tell jokes like that. Yeah, I mean, like, Jesse, that's racist. All right. So let's get back on track. The Pharisees and Sadducees were there. They were all there to see, you know, Jesus fail, to see if they could trick Jesus. And the presence of the Lord was there to heal them all. Verse 18, and behold, men in a man in a bed. Okay, now he was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, and they could not find by what way they could bring. Basically, the room was crowded, and they couldn't get the bed in. Nobody would move. Bunch of religious people. We got a sick person that needs to be healed, and they won't give up their seat. I bet they would be on the bus, a pregnant lady would come in, and they would just look the other way. That's religions for you. They always look in what God can do for them, what God can build their house, build their kingdom, and how they can prosper and sit on top and teach everybody else how to get there instead of how can I bless other people. They forgot that the word ministry means to serve. Other nations have it right. Prime minister. He serves the people. A prime minister serves a ministry of defense. They don't go, you know, our minister of defense doesn't go and be like, or, you know, Great Britain's minister of defense. Well, let me tell you all about Jesus. No, they serve the people when it comes to defense. When it comes to defense, they keep their country safe and they serve the nation. They're at the disposal of the nation. Canada has a prime minister, right? All right. Y'all looked at me like I was wrong for a second. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know Canada. All right, let's go. All my Canadian friends, y'all can leave comments on the website or Facebook. All right. Do you know, just a fun fact, we will edit this out too, but just a fun fact. Do you know Canada beats every nation listening to our podcast, including the United States? We have several hundred clicks all over Canada. All over, not in just one place, but all over Canada. Most of the time, Canada is number one for visiting the website. Also, we see a lot of nations, and our podcast has not been updated. We've gotten emails from other countries. I found this out within the last week or two, that there are nations that take our sermons and they write them out and distribute them among their congregation. And so I'm very thankful for the work that God is doing through the technology that we have available today. All right, and so they got this man on a bed. They can't get him before Jesus. So they go up on the rooftop. And you know, I'm not going to preach the sermons that you got to have four crazy friends. I just think, you know, well, you know, just find you some crazy people. And hang out with them that believe in Jesus, not the other kind. The kind that believe in Jesus, the kind that believe Jesus could do all things. I'd like to call them normal people who know how the kingdom operates. And so they get on the top of the roof and they take the tiles off and they lower the man down. Let's see. And Jesus, you know, the rest of the story is Jesus healed him. Question, verse 17, was not the Spirit of God there to heal everybody? And we only have one record of one person getting healed. Why do you think that is? Somebody came to get something, and the rest of them came to judge what the preacher was saying. Oh, my goodness. They were there to judge the vessel. They were there to judge the person that God was using, not to judge the message. They wasn't even there to get what it, can I tell, oh, I saw this weekend. This was awesome. We'll use it today. It's not mine. I can't take credit for this. Now, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. It's going to be very quick. I want you to look around the room, find everything that's red. Ready? And remember it. Remember it. Just as soon as we do, don't look now. And you're going to close your eyes. You're going to close your eyes when you're done. And then I'm going to ask you to hold up your hand and show me how many things you found. Right now, go. 5 seconds. What you see red. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Hold your hand up and show me how many things you saw that were white. Yeah. See, what happened is you're so focused on the red that you can't even remember that I had a white shirt on. Everybody's like, Not one finger went up for white that I'm wearing. Oh, Larry's back there counting all the people. He's like, 1 little, 2 little, 3 little crackers, 4 little. I'm sorry. I can do that. That's my word. That's my word. All right. So in all of this, we get so focused on something, we'll miss everything else around us. And there are times that we'll visit the Baptist and we'll know everything that we disagree with them. And every time they teach, we're correcting their teaching in our head instead of receiving truth that we can get from the Baptist. Yeah. Because we believe we have it all down. And if we're so doctrinally correct, and I think we should strive to be doctrinally correct, but if we can't get something because we're so focused on something else. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so focused on how much they knew and how much they could do and where their level was, they couldn't even see the Son of God sitting in front of them. Even though he healed the sick, this man got healed. Can I tell you something? If I had an ailment in my body and all of a sudden a guy got out of bed, I'd be like, oh, excuse me, Jesus. I'm going to stop trying to, you know, trip you up on biblical questions. And I just need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for my child. I need you to pray for my family. Instead of seeing the truth that was right in front of them, all they could see was how they disagreed with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. If you come here to church, I'm very clear about this. There is nobody in this church, including my wife. If I ask for a hand of, you know, raise up, if you agree with me on everything I've ever taught, nobody would raise their hand. Now, I tell this story. I love Bob. Mine and Bob's relationship is great. I love Bob. Bob is amazing. Him and Rosie, really Rosie, feeds me well. He just lets me in the house. You know, she does all the hard work, and he just sits there and smiles. And I enjoy his presence. I enjoy his conversations. And I remember one day, when much younger in ministry, I walked up to him and said, so, Bob, do you agree with everything I preached? And he goes, you know, in Bob's perfect fashion, his head went up and he said, well, and I knew at that moment the next words were not going to be yes. And he goes, well, most of it. And for a moment, I think I kept a great face. I really don't know. But I said, oh, okay, well, that's good to hear. And then I remember walking back, and when I got by myself, I'm like, what did I preach that Bob doesn't agree with? What did I say? What, you know, it's not like I'm out there, you know, dancing with rattlesnakes. And if I do, they're on my boots, you know. I mean, like, I don't, what does Bob disagree with me about? And then I just finally got to the point, what does it matter? We agree on Moses' stuff, and if he knows he's called here, I'd rather have people submitted. Hello. I would rather have people know they're called than people that are in agreement with me 100%. Because if you stick around me long enough, I can guarantee you're going to find something to disagree. And so a lot of times what happens is in churches, people get disgruntled about, I don't know, maybe seats or air condition or something like that. And so they want to leave and they feel it's time to leave. And so they need to get a case up while they leave so it's not them and it's somebody else. But how about this? How about it just be God? I mean, if somebody needs to leave, I think it can just be God. But and let me just say this. This is not confirmation to anybody in here. I feel that by the Spirit of the Lord. No, that's not true. But anyway, so in this, maybe it's just God. And maybe you don't have to get everybody on your side or come up with a reason. Then all of a sudden you go into church looking for false teaching so you can have a reason to go. Something to blame it on. And I've seen that happen in churches. And so my question for you is, why are you here this morning? Are you like the Pharisees and Sadducees wanting to judge everything that come out of my mouth? Because I have given you weapons to use against me this morning. I don't know if you noticed. You could go to Facebook right now and tag me in. Don't you do it. And tag me in something and say, Pastor is this. Pastor is that. Pastor is full of this and full of that. But good luck. So what are you here for? Are you here to receive? Are you here to hear from God? Are you here to get the word? The word, do you have to go get Jesus? No, the word. Got to tell you something. I believe that God heals people right in this meeting for no other reason than the word is present. I believe God is healing relationships, healing the brokenhearted, healing the blinded eyes, causing people's spirits to become alive, not because of anything that I have done except to say, God, use this vessel. And the same reason why people will get saved underneath your ministry, that will listen to you and that you will help them, is simply because you have said, here am I, God, use my life. I'm not perfect, but I will strive to do everything you tell me to do. I am pursuing you at all costs. I am going to do everything you tell me to do. And God, if I miss it, get me back on track and I'll swing again. So why are we here this morning? I want you to know that you are anointed. I want you to know that you are marked by God and that you have the word on the inside of you. John 1:1 says the word in the beginning was, our God was the word, and the word was with God, and God was the word. And in verse 2, it says, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him, nothing. Made was made. And then jump to verse 14, and it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to tell you something. The word took flesh. I'm going to tell you something. The word's going to take things. The word's going to take healing and deliver it to other people. The word is going to take finances and distribute it among the missionaries. The word is going to reach out and take things that is going to benefit the kingdom of God and use them. The word of God is going to bring healing to your heart. The word of God is going to bring straight to you a robe of glory and righteousness. The word of God is going to get your eyes open to see you as God has created you. I'm ending with this scripture. Numbers 11 and 17. And says, I will come down and talk with thee. I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, and thou bear it not thyself alone. Now look, this is the scriptures where God is speaking to Moses. Moses has a mess load of people to deal with and to hear all their problems and to carry all their burdens and to be the answer to these people. And God says, this is more than you can bear. And I'm going to take the spirit that is on you and I'm going to distribute it to the people. Can I tell you something? They went to sleep one way and they woke up another. And so this morning, you may say, I need God's anointing on my life to fulfill what God has called me to do. Can I tell you something? The Spirit of God is present. The Word of God is present. And you may have woke up just normal you today. But I'm telling you something, the Word of God is here to cause you to be smarter than what you are. That was the biggest revelation to me, and I was so thankful because I always felt like I wasn't smart enough. And I was reading a scripture where a king was dumb, was out eating grass. He lost his mind. I mean, I smell grass every once in a while. I'm thinking, that smells good. Like when it's cut, I like that smell. But I never thought, let me go eat it. This king lost his mind. And God restored it. God restored it. And I'm like, Lord, it went off on the inside of me like the bursting of 1,000 suns. I'm like, God, if I'm missing something, you can create it. Lord, and y'all, most of you know my story. I was diagnosed with dyslexia, told I'd never make it, told I'd never be able to be among my peers. I would always be lacking in that area. And I am so thankful that that came to me because God healed me from that mind, whatever it was, whether it was synapses not connecting correctly. I don't know what causes it, but I know what heals it.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And God calls my brain to work where it was not working before. And so whatever you're coming up against, I'm telling you right now, let's put our faith out there that God is doing something now that we'll even notice now. We'll begin to notice tomorrow, and we'll see the Spirit of God will come upon us and give us everything we need for our job. Maybe you're in a place that you feel like in your job that you just don't have enough education, you don't have enough knowledge, you don't know what to do. God is there with on-job training for you right now. God is here to help you become a better father, a better mother, better husband, better son, better children, better worker, better business owner, better manager, better communicator, whatever it is you need. God is here. And can bring it to you by His Spirit. Will lead you to the right places, get you the right books, and put you in the touch with the right people. We've got to trust God. Because I'm not here to get puffed up. I'm not here to have more knowledge. That's not why I'm studying it. So I can, I feel like Paul sometimes. I didn't come with you with excellent speech, and I don't ever plan on coming to you with excellence of speech. Plan on keep saying y'all and that and mispronouncing words and having a southern accent. I'm fine with it. But what I am after is the Spirit of God to heal the sick. The Spirit of God to bring financial breakthrough to people. That they would not be imprisoned under debt. They would not be imprisoned under the Babylonian system. They would not be imprisoned by sickness. They would not be imprisoned by being blind or deaf. That they would be able to walk out the call of God on their life with no hindrances. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.